Thank you for joining me for another Quick Hits Conversation. I'm Dr. Robin. With me today, I have Brett McCall, I have Ziz, and I have Danette Rivera. I want to ask the question, what about the dark side of resilience? How do you keep from waiting too long to pivot? Danette, can you kick us off?
Sure. So I love the article that you had shared about all this, by the way. And to me, as I started thinking about it, I fell back on the fact that when I think about resilience, I think about, for example, in our family, all the different things that we all go through in life, right? Many, many things. And I started long ago allowing myself to just feel the emotions, the negativity, whatever went with it. And then to say to myself, you know what? Nope, I am not sitting in this space. It's time to kind of think differently, look at the whole situation in a different way. What did I learn from it? But I do recognize that when it comes to that dark side, the article really was interesting to me when it looked at it from the perspective that it can be seen in such a negative way, because it's almost like it's almost like brushing you off when you're talking about something and, oh, you're resilient, like you can get over it, move on.
Mm-hmm.
So that was kind of eye-opening for me.
I didn't see the article, so I'm missing maybe something there. But the first thought that came to mind when I saw the topic of the dark side of resilience is that that's not resilience. That's actually rigidness, or it's inflexibility. So when I think about resilience, I think about the ability to return to myself again after experiencing some kind of a fall or some kind of a less than desirable result, which are totally part of life. Like, that's what happens. And being resilient is being able to have that hit me and then still be there and maybe do it again. I'm very curious about, you know, what the dark side of that might be, because I definitely am the kind of company, Better Than Unicorns is the kind of company that we've pivoted probably more often than we needed to. So we've pivoted maybe too often or too early. That's where I started.
To piggyback on what Brett said, you know, having been a former athlete and making it to the NFL while in college, fourth game of the season, right before halftime, I'm about to go out for a pass and pop goes the Achilles tendon.
Ow.
Now at the time, I didn't know it was my Achilles tendon. I had no idea what it was. I just hopped off the field. Coach is like, what are you doing over here? I'm like, hey, it felt like I fell in a hole. It's that sensation of missing a few steps when you're walking down the steps and get into the locker room. The doctor's like, yep, pop the Achilles tendon. Little tears, you know, season's over, done. And I shower, I come back out and I support my team. But the thing that went through my head was like, what's the gift in all of this? Is that I get to enjoy college without having to go to football practice. You know, and I make fun of it, but literally, like, when you're a college athlete, you're always having to do something related to that. And unfortunately for me, that was done. But it took me a long time to get back to running again, like literally 6, 7, 8 months, because it was a long time ago and they didn't have the technology they have now. So going back to and piggybacking on what Brett said, returning back to that took a lot of hard work and the fact and knowing that I could get there. So the topic of the dark side is like, what do you mean, like, wait too long to pivot? If you wait too long, that means that the feedback mechanisms you have in your life aren't very good and you need to change them. And then also you probably need to get some accountability partners and a coach.
I know for me, and this is experience I've had, I am ridiculously resilient to the point of being anti-fragile. Not only do I come back as strong, I come back stronger. The problem with that is that it's very easy for me to be, I'm going to figure this out and I'm going to do this and it's going to happen. And I'll get on that train and I should have pivoted back 3 stops and I'm still trying to force the, I can come back from this. I can make this better. This is going to work for me. So for me, the dark side of resilience was being willing to face the failure, the, this didn't work. I need to pivot, and accepting that so I could pivot.
Yeah. You know, as everyone's having the conversation, that's what I love about doing this with you. And is that it occurs to me that part of the problem with resilience, or when you're, you know, when people consider you resilient and they really mean it in a nice way, you know, and they're like, wow, you guys, how do you survive all these different things? But it also puts you in this position where now there's this expectation. So when you fall apart and you're like, you know what, I'm right now, I really don't care about being resilient. I just need to feel what I'm feeling, and I'm unhappy or I'm angry. I recently had a good friend pass away, and I got notified that she had passed away through an obituary in December. Oh. And she had died November 18th. And I was so angry, I couldn't grieve for 3 days because her daughter knew me well. She could have called me. I had been trying to find out how she was doing. And so I let myself just be mad and be sad, whatever it took. Probably took a good week before I finally said, this is not how she would want me to remember her, or this is not how I need to honor her. And so I had to pivot at that point. But sometimes being resilient, I think, puts a weight on you that people expect you to be the strong one and the one that kind of take charge and help us get through all this. So to me, that would be a bit of a dark side as we're talking about it.
Yeah. So many of my clients say that to me. They say, I love talking to you, Robin, because I can fall apart and it doesn't affect anyone else in my life.
That's right.
So yeah, exactly that. If you are the rock, if you fall apart, all the people who have their anchor attached to you, they fall apart too. And then you have to deal with them and they're fall apart.
Yeah.
So true.
I remember the first dance class I took, it was a modern dance class. And one of the first things we learned was how to fall. And I always thought that was kind of funny at first, but then when you get into it, like there's a really graceful way to fall. And then there's a, like a not very graceful way to fall. And in dance, like sometimes you want a little bit of a mixture of both. Like I remember doing a dance performance where I jumped really high and then I came down, and part of the objective was for me to like hit the ground, and I ended up hitting my head really hard. But like in the moment of everything that was going on, like it just felt right and it hurt, but like that was part of the story that was being told in the performance. I also remember the moment that my daughter, my first daughter, who's now 22, her name's Cirrus, when she first fell and skinned her knee on a playground, I was right there in front of her. And I stood up and I went, "Woo! Yes! That's amazing!" And I picked her up and she looked at me and she was, you know, there was tears in her eyes because she was feeling pain, but she also looked at me like, Oh, this is celebration. Awesome. And she got right back on the playground and kept playing. Of course, like we had to clean up the knee and she was hurt later, but like that first opportunity to catch a fall and go, yes, that's part of life. You're experiencing life to its fullest. Awesome.
I love that, Brett. It reminds me of sort of like the Sarah Blakely story when she talks about her dad and how her dad at the end of each week would be like, what did you fail at today? What did you fail at this week? So feedback is super important, because in order to have the feedback, or when you have feedback, then you're like, okay, what went well? What didn't go well? And going back to my football days, we called it the eye in the sky, because they watch practice. They watch games. You got evaluated. You could have a play where you scored a touchdown, but on that touchdown play, You didn't run the route properly. You didn't do this properly. You didn't do that properly. And those are all information to help you get better at what it is that you're doing. So it's interesting thinking about the feedback. And also, Danette, when you mentioned expectations, I'm like, let go of expectations. I get it, though, and I understand, because life is life and things happen. But I think as I've learned over the years is, keep my own expectations and try not to hold on everyone else's expectations.
Yeah. I think it's really a challenge to be that person that can be the rock and be resilient and keep going and keep trying, but also be the person who is self-reflective enough to notice and be able to pivot when you need to. And that, you know, Brett, you made the comment earlier on that your company may have pivoted earlier and more often than perhaps it should have. And, you know, how do you even begin to know? And those are the questions that you have to kind of live life and figure out, in hindsight's 2020, and should we all have an eye in the sky to be able to review film so we can learn from it every single time. So that is our 10 minutes. So I'm going to cut us off there. Thank you so much for having this conversation about resilience and being overly resilient. And I look forward to speaking to each of you again very soon.
Thanks.
Thank you.